Monster Man, episode 394. Elementals Revisited, part, what is this, 5? Elementals Revisited, conclusion. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And we're just about finished, well, we are in fact finished, with our section on elementals, as we look at 4 more types of elemental creature. Now, 4 seems like a lot for an episode, but as you'll see, it's kind of really just 2. Before we do that, in case you missed the live stream of our launch event for Lion Rampant, A Viking in the Sun, it's now on YouTube, and I've put a link down in the show notes. That one goes specifically to where my talk begins, but if you're interested in history and gaming, then you should definitely, and specifically if you're interested in the Mediterranean 1030s and 1040s, you should check out the talks by my co-authors, but I've linked directly to my one. I know you like to hear me talk, unless you don't, in which case I apologize for the next 10 minutes or so. So, let's take a look at our final group of elementals. Now, these are composite elementals, which are just what they sound like. They're elementals that combine more than one type of element. The composite elemental concept is not necessarily a bad one, but it is one of those revisions to the idea that starts to bring the idea into question, if that makes sense. Once you've introduced this concept, it feels like it complicates a very simple system of categorization when one of the things that we liked about the system of categorization was how simple it was. Anyway, let's take a look at our different types of composite elemental. The first is the Tempest. Now, the Tempest is a combination of all 4 types of elemental, with Earth in particular being kind of shoehorned in there, that they have a sort of metallic element to them, but basically what they are is giant living storms. Well, giant by people standards, pretty reasonably sized by storm standards, indeed quite small. They're only about 50 feet tall, or just under 16 meters for my metric listeners. They have all the powers that you would expect from a storm monster. They have wind powers and lightning powers. They have a particularly damaging lightning bolt attack. They are definitely not to be messed with, and like a lot of such monsters, they have damage immunities that make them even harder than their hit points and attacks would suggest. So these guys can only be affected by +2 and higher magic weapons, clearly intended as opponents for a party of high-level characters. In terms of where characters might encounter them, there's a note that says that they are sometimes accidentally summoned, which, you know, is sort of a fun idea, but I also like, I mean, they just seem like good opponents for that kind of high-level, you know, everybody's riding around on Pegasuses and flying carpets and going up to their cloud castle, fight in the sky kind of stuff. And other than cloud dragons in particular and dragons in general, I don't know that there has been, up to this point, a particularly deep bench of opponents for that kind of fight. Mostly what you're fighting when you're, you know, in the sky is merely sort of the narrow subset of creatures that live on land that can also fly. Whereas I think when you gain access to a new theater of adventure, you should gain access to new monsters with it, if that makes sense. Not that a Tempest can't come down and attack people that are on the ground, but it feels like a very sky-y monster. I guess we saw a few sky guys in the creature catalog, but not been a huge number of them. Now, Monster's Manual is always dependable, and by that I mean that even though these are living storm monsters composed of elemental forces, there is a section on their mating habits. And I'm willing to forgive that mainly because it's actually kind of fun. They form into a huge storm that, when it disperses, leaves some little tempests called tantrums, which is cute. So, you know, the fact that, like, this creates an enormous hurricane, and then afterward you get the little storm monsters, oh, that's kind of neat. They also drop magic item ingredients, so the sort of, the silvery bits, the aforementioned earth bits inside a Tempest can be used to make kind of stormy-related magic items. And finally we learn that they feed on the moisture in dead bodies, which feels a little ghoulish. They can't kill people by sucking out their moisture, it's at pains to point out, but they can kill people by striking them with like 12 dice lightning bolts. So, I mean, as often as they like. So, you know, I think they're probably still okay despite that fact. Next up, and speaking of dry monsters, we have the Skreaxit. Now, this, I think, is a Forgotten Realms monster, and it's interesting to see how, like, that's positioned as, like, this exotic other world. Of course, now in 5th edition, the Forgotten Realms is the default Dungeons & Dragons setting, largely due, I expect, to the popularity of the Baldur's Gate series of games. I find that only in very extreme cases do the differences between published D&D settings make any difference in terms of using monsters from one of them in your game, which is really what I'm interested in, right? So you do get Dark Sun monsters whose, you know, backstory or motivation is very tied into that setting. But for the most part, the Forgotten Realms and Greyhawk and what have you are just kind of like a fantasy setting. Anyway, the Skreaxits. They are sort of animated sandstorms. And although they are elementals, they're a bit unusual compared to some of the other elementals that we've seen, because their elemental nature is not really what motivates them. The metaphor, I guess, kind of works the other way around. So, like, if you think of the Tempest is stormy. Its whole personality is that it's kind of like aggressive and territorial and, you know, angry and short-tempered, because it's stormy, it's a storm. But I feel a little bit like the Skreaxit are the other way around. They are spirits of retribution, and therefore they take the form of sandstorms, I think, because they're gonna, like, scour the thing that they're supposed to be punishing. And they were brought to this plane for retribution by ancient gods millennia ago, only they've just kind of stuck around. As you might expect, as sandstorms, they are a combination of earth and air elementals, and they set up a big vortex that gets bigger and can move faster the more of them there are in it, and also, the more of them there are, the more automatic damage you take every round. So if you're inside the zone of whirling sand created by two Skreaxits, then you're taking two damage a round. But if it's three, then it's three. And if it's four, then it's four, and so on. So conceivably, even quite high-level characters could be affected by this, you know, just gradually getting worn down, getting sandblasted. And they could easily get to a level where ordinary NPCs, your zero-level types, are just automatically being killed the moment the storm rolls over them. No save, no nothing. They also generate an anti-magic zone within that sandstorm, so a lot of your options for getting out are limited if you're a mainly magical character. The descriptions of their powers are pretty horrid, and this matches up with their personalities. The Skreaxit, like, may have been called on to punish real sins committed by mortals, I don't know, but whether their victims deserved it or not is not really something that the Skreaxit care about. Now, it might happen to be the case, but it doesn't motivate them. Instead, they are motivated solely by a kind of detached sadism. They live to create destruction and woe, and they feed on the emotion of terror that their victims experience as they are destroyed. These guys are real boss fight material, too. The leader of a Skreaxit pack, a Great Skreax, is an absolute beast with 24 plus 24 HD. So fighting a mob of Skreaxit is going to be a serious challenge. Also, I like the fact that because they get powerful as more of them kind of meld together into this big thing, you can establish some of the ground rules of what the Skreaxit are. You know, where they can be found, you know, how their powers work, basically, with just a couple of them so that it's a relatively minimal threat, but then have a big dangerous boss fight with a bunch of them without having to really change the rules too much. Also, I like the detail that once they have created enough destruction, they're sated and they go to sleep for a couple of hundred years. The couple of hundred years is actually randomized, like I think it's, you know, D3 centuries, which is really weird to me because it's hard to imagine the game in which that randomization could be relevant. There could be some extremely rare circumstances in which it would matter whether a Skreaxit went to sleep for 100 or 200 years, but most of the time I would say that puts them outside the scope of the campaign. And it's equally, you know, when the Skreaxit begin emerging from their centuries-long slumber to wreak devastation upon the world of the mortals, it's hard to see that it's super relevant whether they've been asleep for 200 or 300 years, especially in a situation where that information is going to be randomized. Finally, we have to composite elementals who get very short descriptions. These are the Arctic Tempest, which is like a regular Tempest, but kind of cold themed and has cold powers, and the Black Cloud of Vengeance, an air fire elemental that rains down a fiery storm of retribution on people, and again, is nothing more than a rough concept and a simple mechanic. So these are, you know, less characters and more even just kind of like either twists on an existing monster or environmental hazards. But actually, both the Skreaxit and the Tempest, one thing that I like about them, and kind of that they have in common, is that they are, in terms of the fight you anticipate, they are not really just another version of an existing monster. You know, I think when you introduce, say, a new humanoid into the Monstrous Manual, rather than just like, or into D&D generally, rather than just writing a scenario or an encounter that presents an existing monster in a different and interesting light, or, you know, giving a character who is a particular type of monster a more interesting personality or motivation, I think there's a very high burden, right? I think you have to really work hard to demonstrate that this couldn't just be a gnoll or whatever. And I think that both the Skreaxit and the Tempest, in terms of the types of encounters and the types of combats and the types of situations that they're likely to create, are different enough to the majority of monsters that you're going to run into that I think they're worthwhile inclusions, even if there are one or two things about them that I sort of nitpick. So, okay. That was elementals, and if we remember the structure of our monster manuals, that must mean that our next regular entry is going to be elephants. So that's what we're going to be talking about on our next regular episode. However, in the meantime, we've got another listener request special episode coming up, and in the middle of this week, if you're a Patreon subscriber at the $2 level or higher, you've got a new episode of Patron Deities coming. So I hope you'll join me for all of those, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.